I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up this week, we'll look ahead to the Rugby League World Cup, which begins this weekend. We'll also bring you the latest from the world of rugby union. Sebastian Vettel could win his fourth consecutive Formula One driver's title this weekend. Johnny Hart will have the details for us ahead of the Indian Grand Prix. Charlie Owens will bring us the latest on this season's final Group 1 flat race. But we'll start with football and a quick look ahead to the latest round of Premier League matches. At 12:45 on Saturday, the leaders Arsenal make the trip to face struggling Crystal Palace, who parted company with their manager Ian Holloway earlier this week.
With the changes in the squad, I have to hold my hand up that we didn't keep that spirit that got us up. We lost some very important parts of it, but I think we've tried to change too quickly. Some of the new lads, and at the moment, their attitude and where it is, and I'm finding it slightly annoying, and that ain't right.
Well, you have to feel for Ian Holloway. He did such a good job at getting Palace up into the Premier League in the first place, but with relatively little investment in the squad, it was always going to be difficult for the Eagles to compete at the top level. And I think Holloway would admit himself that the players he's brought in are perhaps not the ones that were needed to give Palace a fighting chance. I think whoever takes that job on will find it difficult, but perhaps Tony Pulis, who's been strongly linked with the job, is the man to go for. He's proved with Stoke City that he can get results playing football his way. Arsenal top of the table. I can only see them adding to that by winning this game at Selhurst Park. They were beaten in midweek in the Champions League, of course, by Borussia Dortmund. But I actually thought Arsenal played quite well. They were hit with the sucker punch late on. But I think they can be proud of most of that Champions League display against last season's runners-up. Moving on to Aston Villa's game against Everton. There tend to be goals in this fixture, two very enterprising teams. Aston Villa always play good football under Paul Lambert. Christian Benteke should be back fit, of course. Everton, well, they've been going great guns under Roberto Martinez, and they'll hope for another fine away performance. So this one, whichever way you look at it, should be a cracker. Liverpool against West Brom. Now, Liverpool, of course, could only draw at Newcastle in their last game, despite playing most of that game with a man advantage. West Brom, a bit of a bogey team for Liverpool in recent seasons. So if Liverpool can come through this one, it'll be a major boost for them. Manchester United, so many problems at Old Trafford in the Premier League. But of course, in the Champions League in midweek, they managed to beat Real Sociedad 1-0. It was an own goal, but it was caused by Wayne Rooney, who's been on excellent form for club and country. And in the wake of criticism from Sir Alex Ferguson this week in his autobiography, Rooney says the change of manager at Old Trafford has made a big difference.
The new coaching staff come in, it's really a new lease of life, if you like, and I'm really enjoying working with David Moyes and his staff, and we're working to try and be successful as a team, and we've got a lot of players hungry, and the results haven't been what we want, and that's what we're working to put right.
Well, despite Manchester United's recent problems and their failure to beat both West Brom and Southampton in recent games at Old Trafford, I expect United to win this one. Stoke on a losing run, still struggling to adapt to Mark Hughes, their new manager, and his demands for a more attractive, expansive passing game. I still think Stoke are caught between two stools, and I expect United to win this one. Norwich against Cardiff, two teams who perhaps would have wanted better starts to the campaign. Norwich, of course, being accused of playing too defensively under their manager, Chris Hughton. A really big game for them because they're in the middle of a tough run of fixtures. Cardiff, of course, problems behind the scenes. The head of recruitment there, Ian Moody, lost his job recently and was replaced by an unknown. And Malky Mackay seemed to be undermined the Cardiff manager, but he says he's going to stay and tough things out. The evening game on Saturday, Southampton, who've been playing so very well this season, one of the best defences in Europe statistically. They're at home to Fulham, who eased the pressure on Martin Jol last Monday with that excellent 4-1 win at Palace. Huge game on Sunday at 1:30. Sunderland against Newcastle. A North-East derby is always a big occasion, but of course Sunderland just 1 point from their game so far. Gus Poyet's debut last time out at Swansea, disastrous as they lost 4-0. I think Newcastle will take some heart from their excellent display against Liverpool, down to 10 men before half-time, but they hung on for a fine 2-2 draw. At 4 o'clock, West Ham go to Swansea. West Ham have been playing a little better in recent weeks. I thought they were okay against Manchester City, gave it a real go, but City's greater class last week, won out. Sergio Aguero scoring twice in a 3-1 win. So West Ham with a bit more belief, especially after that 3-0 win at Spurs recently. Swansea will be a little heavy-legged after what was a tough game for them in midweek in the Europa League against Kuban Krasnodar. The Swans denied a win by a last-minute penalty from Gibril Cissé, the former Liverpool man. So this one could be tough for Swansea. Tottenham against Hull. Tottenham also in Europa League action in midweek as they won 2-0 at Sheriff. But I would expect Tottenham to win this one because they have such a strong squad, so many options. Hull City, I've been impressed by, pleasantly surprised by, actually. I thought they'd struggle more than they have so far. But I'd be surprised if Tottenham don't win this one. And the game of the weekend, arguably, Chelsea against Manchester City. Both teams won away from home in the Champions League in midweek. Chelsea won 3-0 at an injury-hit Schalke side. Manchester City with that controversial 2-1 win at CSKA Moscow. Of course, Yaya Toure accusing the CSKA fans, some of them at least, of racially abusing him. I think that one is going to run and run. This game in isolation, I think, very, very interesting. I think Chelsea will want to maintain a decent home record. Manchester City away from home, not so good. Only picked up their first win last week of the season. That was at West Ham in the Premier League away from home. Still no Vincent Kompany, perhaps, although he might be touch and go by the time we get to the opening whistle. He might just make it. My guess would be that Chelsea will just edge it. But either way, it's a big chance for one of these teams to lay down a marker in what is a wide open title race. Well, now let's switch our attention to rugby. Both codes. Lee Peters has been looking at the latest from Union, but also he's looking ahead to this weekend's Rugby League World Cup opening.
Well, the Rugby League World Cup kicks off on Saturday as co-hosts England take on the tournament's most successful team in Australia at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. 14 teams will be taking part in the competition, with Fiji and Ireland also in England's group. England will look to put their surprise defeat to Italy in a warm-up match last weekend behind them. Coach Steve McNamara says he's confident his side has what it takes to succeed.
It's not just about this game, you know, it's a whole tournament, but the next game is the focus for us, and no better way to start than Australia in a world-class arena at Cardiff. You know, we need to do a lot of things right, and that's going to take a lot of attention to detail, a lot of concentration from the group. If we do that, we'll put ourselves in a great position.
Australia are hotly tipped to record their 10th World Cup success. Their coach is Tim Sheens, and he says the favourites tag is irrelevant before a ball has been kicked.
If we come through that pool strongly and we're still in it, then the decisions will become harder and harder as the based on form. But at the moment, reputation will probably pick most of the side, but it's about living up to that reputation, and against England in game one will be our biggest test.
The other game on Saturday sees an intergroup game as Wales face Italy. On Sunday, reigning champions New Zealand kick off their campaign against Samoa. Kiwis head coach Steve Kearney says it's going to be tougher than ever to win this time around.
I think it's going to be the best World Cup that we've seen. There's no doubt about that. I think the results over the weekend suggest that. You know, a couple of upsets. So I think that suggests that the quality of player that is at this tournament is, I think, the best that we've had in a long, long time.
Well, elsewhere on Sunday, France take on Papua New Guinea at Hull KR Stadium before Monday sees Fiji take on Ireland in Rochdale. Scotland's campaign doesn't begin until Tuesday when they take on Tonga. Super League's Man of Steel Danny Brough is Scotland captain, and he believes his side can compete well over the coming weeks.
At last one we won one game, so winning more than one this time would be a bit of a bonus, but we're pushing to get to quarter-final, and that's winning group, so it is what it is. It's all on the day, and if you don't perform, you don't win, and that's part and parcel of it.
In rugby union, we're back to domestic action after the thrills and spills of the opening European games of the season. Saracens will look to bounce back from their first loss in all competitions, but the Premiership leaders face a difficult trip to second place Northampton Saints. Saracens lost narrowly to Toulouse in last week's Heineken Cup clash in front of more than 61,000 fans at Wembley Stadium after Owen Farrell missed a last gasp drop goal. But they still have a 100% in domestic games and will look to cement their place at the top with a win over their closest threat. Exeter Chiefs welcome bottom side Worcester, who are yet to avoid defeat this season, whilst Harlequins take on Sale Sharks. On Sunday, second bottom London Wasps take on third place Leicester Tigers, and Newcastle Falcons host London Irish.
Well, now Formula One, and Sebastian Vettel could win his fourth consecutive driver's title this weekend at the Indian Grand Prix. With the details, here's Johnny Hart.
Well, Sebastian Vettel is on the brink of securing a fourth successive Formula One world title. The German has won the last five races and needs only a fifth place finish to make sure of the championship. Vettel 90 points clear of his closest rival, Ferrari's Fernando Alonso, with only 100 still available. He'll win the title if Alonso doesn't outscore him by at least 16 points. Red Bull teammate Mark Webber says Vettel deserves the title.
Obviously, he's had an incredible run. Some of the championships have been tight, some less tight. Obviously, 11 and this year have been pretty much a non-event, but 2010 and 2012 were to the last race. He's certainly done an incredible job. He's been very strong on the Pirellis. Obviously, the Bridgestones was probably a little bit tighter, but the Pirellis, he's certainly been very strong on those and no real weaknesses on those tyres, so that's been strong for him and super consistent. That's what's made him strong, obviously, and also getting the most out of the package. Obviously, the car's been quick and he's capitalised on a lot of venues, and he's won with a dominant car, but also he's won with a car which some races is probably not, certainly over those 4 years you win races which you probably shouldn't have won races, so it's also been a quality of his.
On Mercedes, Nico Rosberg will be doing his best to delay Vettel's inevitable victory, and he's hoping for a better drive this time out.
In the last couple of races have not really gone to plan, a lot of bad luck also, but I have a very good car at the moment. I think the Red Bull is a bit quicker than us. But you never know, you know, if we really get everything right on a weekend like here in India, then it's possible to beat Mark and Sebastian in that car. And that's what I'm here to do, so I'll give it everything and we'll see.
That's Nico Rosberg, and the race begins at 9:30 UK time.
And we'll finish this week with racing. Charlie Owens brings us details of the final Group 1 flat race of the season.
Thanks, Kev. And this weekend, we'll get a final look at next year's potential classic colts when they run in the Racing Post Trophy at Doncaster. Well, this race is a Group 1 event for two-year-olds. It's run over a mile, and in recent years, it's been a very good pointer for the following season's Derby. In fact, in the last 10 years, three of the Racing Post Trophy winners, Camelot, Authorised and Motivator, have all followed up in the Epsom Classic. So it's a race you really should keep one eye on. Well, this year's Racing Post Trophy looks a wide-open affair, with 11 declared, including Kingston Hill, Century and Pinzolo, who are all vying for favouritism. Irish trainer Aidan O'Brien has won the race seven times and has provided the winner in three of the last four runnings, so he's definitely a man to keep an eye on. As usual, he's mob-handed in the race with three runners. They are Century, Johann Strauss and Buonarroti. Now, Aidan O'Brien's jockey son, Joseph, has chosen to ride Century, which many people will take as a pointer, but not me, as he's only had one race, winning a maiden at the Curragh. Well, he's bound to improve for that run, but should he be vying for favouritism in a Group 1 race on the form he's shown in the Curragh maiden? I don't think so. So on to the Newmarket Oughton Stakes winner Kingston Hill, who represents Roger Varian. He beat the useful Oklahoma City over this trip in that Group 3 race 2 weeks ago, which is very good form. And with trainer Roger Varian firing out regular winners over the past couple of months, he has to be considered. But I reckon the one to be on is Pinzolo. He costs 400,000 guineas as a yearling and is another smart horse in the care of trainer Charlie Appleby, who racked up his 50th win at Newmarket this week since taking over the reins at Sheikh Mohammed's troubled Moulton Paddock Stables. Pinzolo is a potential Derby horse and he will enjoy both the mile trip and the likely soft ground. So Pinzolo's the one for me in the Racing Post Trophy, and he'll be ridden by the swashbuckling French jockey Michael Barcelona. Now, in the last few years, Michael Barcelona has been a regular visitor to the winner's enclosure, but he'll have to go some if he's ever going to threaten the incredible champion jump jockey Tony McCoy. On Thursday, McCoy showed yet again why he's the best around with a storming five-timer at Carlisle. Well, bookmakers claim the quintet of winners have cost the betting industry close to £1 million in payouts. Oh, my heart bleeds for them. But those Carlisle victories have left McCoy on a career total of 3,984 wins, and he looks certain to become the first jockey from Great Britain and Ireland to reach the amazing total of 4,000. What an incredible sportsman McCoy is.
Well, that's it for this week from myself, Kevin Hatchard, and the rest of the team at the Ultimate Sports Podcast. It's goodbye for now.